This afternoon, I may proclaim you God's word as the church has summarized it, and as we confess it together regarding the fifth commandment, as explained in Lord's Day 39. And the fifth commandment in the 10 words of the covenant reads, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." And so the question reads, what does God require in the fifth commandment? Answer, that I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and to all those in authority over me. Submit myself with due obedience to their good instruction and discipline, and also have patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. Thus far. After the sermon, let us sing Psalm 119, stanza 13. Psalm 119, stanza 13. Brothers and sisters, in and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fifth commandment teaches us about authority. Anyone who is in tune with the affairs of the day realizes that this is a timely topic. All of us are affected by the decisions of the authorities that impact our daily lives. And that makes the topic of authority a timely one because society's view of authority has become blurred. Respect for authority is minimal at best. Recognition of authority is often denied or challenged. People like to do their own thing and are quick to stress their individual rights while minimizing or even ignoring their respective duties. And the worrisome part of this is that this is not just something that affects a particular age group. Dislike for authority and discipline is not a trademark of obstinate teenagers. No, it is an evil that can be identified across the board. Children dislike the authority of parents at times. Grown-ups dislike the authority of governments at times. And we will consider all civil disobedience as a legitimate way to protest. And the consequence of it is that disobedience or disdain for law and order breeds contempt for God-ordained authority. Now, saying this, I must realize that there is also the flip side to authority, namely the abuse of it. And throughout time, despots have, upon gaining power, suppressed the freedoms and the rights of its citizens. The pendulum of abusing authority has also swung in the direction where people only had duties but no rights. Now, it is not my intention to review past or contemporary events. I simply mention these things to highlight how truly current the fifth commandment is. And these few introductory remarks show us the need to rightly understand what God requires of us when he says, "Honor your father and your mother." For behind this command lies God's authority in our lives and how we see our relationship with him. How we live before God is decisive in keeping the fifth commandment. And God's first and great commandment is to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. And every Sunday we hear that there is a second commandment like it, similar to it. And that commandment says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And so then there is also the matter of person-to-person relationships and how we need to view those relationships. Every commandment of our Lord is based on the majestic claim, "I am the Lord your God." And that's why Lord's Day 39 rightly asks the question, what does God require in the fifth commandment? And the point is not what we want, but what God requires of us, what his will is for us. Well, God requires that I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and to all those in authority over me. And so then let us listen to the impact of the fifth commandment, in which God requires that we honor the authorities. And we are looking at three things: why we should honor the authorities, how we should honor them, and when. In the fifth commandment, father and mother receive special mention. And that is because God establishes a special relationship between parents and children. Parents are the primary people who nurture us in the essentials of life. God gave us parents that he deemed right for us. And we did not get to choose our parents. God chose them for us. And he says to everyone, honor your parents. Honor the parents that I gave you. And that stipulation is quite logical, especially if you remember that God gave this command in a culture where strong family ties formed the social bond around which everything revolved and evolved. And this strong social bond was a necessity. It was necessary from both aspects of safety as well as the aspect of economy. Every child was a valued member of the family. Each child formed an important link in the chain of generations. You see, even the married sons stayed within the family unit. Think of Jacob. He went with his married sons and their families to Egypt. Each child had a duty to perform in making things function well for the benefit of the whole family unit. And part of that good functioning family unit was that father and mother were honored. Refusal to respect them would be something that is more than bringing shame on the family and upon the person who ignores the parents. It could even result in banishment from God's people, because dishonoring one's parents was really a dishonoring of God. And we need to keep that front and center, my brothers and sisters. The fifth commandment is not merely a word of advice on how to observe and display good manners. It is the Lord's express command for us to follow. And that command still stands. It is one of the rules of life that God has laid down for each one of us. But then we must also learn from God's word what is expected of both parents and children. And let us consider that for a moment based on what we read in Proverbs 1, the verses 8 and 9. Now, we know the book of Proverbs as a practical book with wise sayings. It's a book filled with wisdom and instruction. And basic to all that biblical wisdom is the fear of the Lord, which is the basis and the basis of sound knowledge. And when you read these wise proverbs, then the first thing you notice is that the kind of education the parents ought to give to the children is one of instruction. And so we read in Proverbs 1, verse 8 and 9, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." And so I want to stress that teaching and instruction, that aspect of parental responsibility is first and foremost, and that is something that we should not skim over. Oh, I know that people know many proverbs, and more than likely you hear the ones recited like this: "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Or a proverb like, "Do not withhold discipline from your child. If you strike him with the rod, he will not die." Even the people who don't believe in God as their guidance in life, they pick up those proverbs and say, "See, that's how the Bible speaks about parental responsibility." Now, while it is true that in the book of Proverbs, discipline is not ignored, let us realize that it is by no means the first. To use the rod as a means of discipline is a last resort. Most important is the giving of sound instruction. And what is this instruction of father? And what is this teaching of mother to the children? Well, it is the instruction to walk in the ways of the Lord. The first and foremost task, and the most important task in life of all parents, is to teach their children to love the Lord, to ensure that from generation to generation, the mighty deeds are passed on. We sang about that in Psalm 78. And that is the first responsibility of every Christian parent, because the children the Lord has entrusted into our care are God's children. And therefore, our primary task as parents is to teach God's children the way of holiness and obedience to the Lord. And that is the best instruction we can give them. There is no better investment of time. It is education for life. Oh, to be sure, this training is not always easy. It can be a headache sometimes, to put it bluntly. But as someone wisely observed, he says, it is better to face some of the headaches in raising your children to love the Lord than facing heartaches later for not having done so. And therefore, in this regard, I need to say a few words, especially to the youth who are still living under the guidance and protection of the parental home. And let me begin with a statement, followed by a question. First off, then, the statement, and that is, I believe it is fair to say that you have certain expectations of your parents, just as your parents have certain expectations of you. But now the question. What are your expectations of your parents? Well, I'm sure you can think of some suitable answers because it is such a wide open question. So then, let me ask a more pointed question. And that is, do your expectations of your parents reflect those of God? Or to ask the question differently, are your expectations of your parents towards you and God's expectations of your parents towards you the same? You see, the most important task and responsibility God gave your parents towards you is to entrust you, and to instruct you rather, in the ways of the Lord, and to teach you to love the Lord. That was one of the promises they made at your baptism. Your parents' task is far greater than providing room and board or driving you to the ball game. God made your parents your most important teachers and instructors. And so the Lord, in His wisdom, took care that you receive your most important training in life at the hands of those who love you the most. And that are your parents. And so believe me when I say that. In a healthy family setting, no one has greater care and concern for you than your father and your mother. And that may not always appear to be the case from your perspective, perhaps, but it's true. Loving parents always seek the best for their children as God's children. And now the amazing thing is, in the fifth commandment, that God doesn't say to you and us all, love your parents for who they are and for what they do for you. He says, honor them. To love one's parents is easy if they give you food, clothing, and shelter. But at times, parents may also have to reprimand and correct attitudes and behaviors for your own good. And while they do so in love, it is not always perceived or accepted that way, is it? Besides, every parent has his or her own faults and shortcomings, things that you can trip over, and then love does not always carry the day. And that's why God gave the command, honor your father and your mother. That means submit yourself with proper obedience to all their good teachings and discipline. Now, parents show their love by not always giving in to the wishes of the children, because with the parental life experience, they have lived a lot longer than their youth, their children. With that life experience that they have gained over time, they see beyond what younger people perceive at the stage in their lives. But what does something sometimes happen? What does happen if you don't get your way? Well, then the point at issue can escalate in an argument, right? And sometimes you win, or so it seems. And I say seems because if after plenty discussion your parents ever say to you, go ahead, have it your way, then regard that as a warning, not necessarily that you have won the argument. Have it your way could very well mean learn it the hard way. You see, the first people and the best people from whom you learn about your place in the family, in church, and in society, those people are your parents. And God has made them your key instructors. And for them to give instruction in the way described in the book of Proverbs requires also that they give guidance, that they set a good example, that they admonish, and if necessary, exercise discipline. And in all this, children must honor their father and mother because God has said so. Parents stand in the place of God in the family, and children are to honor their parents as God's representatives. And that's the perfect structure God has established for his family of believers. And we can take the Lord Jesus as an example here. The Lord Jesus also acknowledged his place in the family of Joseph and Mary. We read in Hebrews 5 verse 8 that Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. And then he learned it in the first place at home in Nazareth. Luke says that Jesus was obedient to his parents. He accepted them as his instructors. And just think about it. As a sinless person, he must have shown a lot of patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings. Still, he honored his father and mother. He accepted their guidance and example. And so we come to the second point for the sermon. How God requires that we honor the authorities. How do you honor your father and your mother? It's a broad question. Not just for the little ones, it's also for the adults. How do you honor your senior parents who may need your help? Let them float along, or are you there for them? So how do you honor your father and your mother? And in asking that question, I'm not just asking you to think of a checklist of what you do. No, I'm interested in the principles and the values that guide you in life. For you see, honor points to a special distinction. Honor your father and your mother requires that you hold them in high esteem. Treat them as people you look up to with admiration and respect. Honor them because they receive their parental authority directly from God, and they received it for one purpose, to lead you to God through the instruction that they give or gave you. Now, of course, it stands to reason that to a certain extent, parents earn respect by being fair and mindful of their children as individuals with individual needs. You see, each child is an individual, and that is why your parents do not necessarily treat you or your brother or sister in the same way, but take the specific needs and circumstances into account. And in doing so, parents should not consider themselves above admitting their mistakes. There's plenty of mistakes that we make as parents. So we should not consider ourselves above admitting those mistakes. And if as a parent you admit that you were wrong or have wronged your child, it will only earn respect of the child when you admit that. The way to respect is not know of a generation gap. It's not, well, I'm your parent and because I said so I did. That's how it stands. No, for by way of mutual respect do we find the way to one another's heart and each other's trust. And therefore, if parents insist that they are always right, or worse, if there is abuse, whether verbal, physical, or sexual abuse, then that doesn't earn respect. It only leads to fear and loathing. And then authority is no more than an intimidating dominance. If such situations exist among us, my brothers and sisters, they must be exposed and rooted out. Now, the focus has been thus far upon the parental authority. And that's really what the focus is of the fifth commandment. And that's because the family unit forms the nucleus in society where respect for authority is nurtured and develops. However, the Heidelberg Catechism rightly elaborates on this command of the Lord by speaking of showing the same honor, love, and faithfulness to all in authority over us. Values that are instilled in the family circle are used and practiced outside of that circle in everyday life. Proper respect for authority in the home will result in proper respect for authorities in school, in the workforce, and in society as a whole. Positive instruction and reinforcement always produce positive results. And so the necessity of showing honor, love, and faithfulness to all in authority over us remains in force. The Apostle Paul touches upon that fact in Colossians 3. And there he shows how it must be achieved. He shows that all our obedience must be, he says, in the Lord. And to be obedient in the Lord means that we are obedient for Christ's sake, out of love for him and out of dedication to him. And the point of all this is that when our obedience to others is rooted in love for Christ, then we show our Father in heaven that we live out of thankfulness for the redemption we have in Christ. He has redeemed us from the sin that brought misery into the world, including the sin of disobedience and the spirit of rebellion against God. In other words, my brothers and sisters, when we show due obedience to all in authority over us, we show that Christ's redeeming grace is at work in us. Our obedience finds its foundation, it finds its foothold in him who was obedient even unto death. And so we need to realize that when we give proper obedience to those by whom God is pleased to govern us, that it is at the same time proper and respectful obedience to the Lord who placed those people over us. And in that light, then, the word of the Catechism, submit with due obedience, needs our special attention. For these words define a limit regarding our obedience. It means that no human authority can demand unconditional obedience from us. All that has happened at times, it's still happening in the restrictive and dictatorial states. People in power still demand such unconditional allegiance to keep others in their power. But that is not due obedience of which the Catechism speaks. And with that, then we come to the last point of the sermon. When does God require that we honor the authorities? Now, we must keep the question of Lord's Day 39 in mind. The question is, what does God require of us in the fifth commandment? I'm sure that you sense what I'm driving at. We are confronted by what God requires. In the final analysis, it is not what people want or demand from us that determines what proper or due obedience is, but that in our obedience we bow before God's authority and majesty. That's what counts. He rules everything, and any type of authority on earth is delegated authority that comes from God. Paul reminds us in Romans 13, verse 1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. That also means that those in authority over us cannot demand whatever they like. Their authority is also subject to due obedience. That means to obedience to the lordship of Jesus Christ, that he also received from his Father when he received all authority in heaven and on earth. And so then, to submit with due obedience indicates that we honor and respect people and the authorities within their limits. And so, no human being or institution has absolute authority. Only God has that as sovereign God. But he says to you and me, honor your father and your mother, honor those whom I place over you. And what better way, my brothers and sisters, what better way is there to show that we understand the purpose of the fifth commandment than by living in the new obedience that we have in Christ Jesus? It is in the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake that we submit with proper obedience to all those who have and who demand authority. Now, we all know what obedience implies, don't we? What it requires. We obey when we do as we're told. And that is not always easy or the most pleasant thing to do. And that is why we need love and faithfulness. Love does not withhold itself, but gives itself. And so love always shows itself best in obedience. The Lord Jesus said, he who loves me keeps my commandments. And so in love we can overlook certain faults that may stand in the way. Love and faithfulness enable us to be patient with the weaknesses and shortcomings of our parents and others who are set over us. And let me remind everyone that there is no better way for any of us to learn to be patient with one another's weakness and shortcomings than by reminding ourselves every day again how much patience the Lord must have with us because of our weaknesses and shortcomings. And therefore, the fifth commandment is not just a commandment for little children only. It is a commandment for all God's children, both young and old. Obedience to our parents is patterned after Christ's obedience to his Father. And for that obedience, all of us, young or old, need to strive every day again. We need to do that because if we love the Lord, then we want to keep his commandments. And that includes, of course, keeping the commandment to show all honor, love, and faithfulness to our father and mother and to all those in authority over us. For when you, my brothers and sisters, obey in the Lord, all those in authority over you, you obey God, and you do that to the praise of his glory. Amen.